We're involved now, I would say this is Osek the Mitzvah, and another mitzvah going on as we speak in the United States is the Chag HaSmicha right now. So, Baruch Hashem, I would say holy moments, I hope here, certainly there. Today is Sunday, March 19th, 2017, and I want to say hello to my students in front of me, and to the many more listening across the universe. And ani modeh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, my health has returned. I thank all those that have asked. And thank God we are in Vet Delta, but the trick is to keep standing in dignity. Be'ezrat Hashem. Now, if you recall, we dealt with the problem, finished that last week, about wearing a hat during davening, and a very interesting question. Atifat Rosh it gets us involved with, and how big a kippah has to be. And I got a lot of comments on my quoting the Shmirat Shabbat Gehilchata, where according to Rav Neuwirth, when you make Kiddush with a Barcelona, you have to have about 10 spares around for all the people at your table, so they should be Yotzei as well. And the people asked me, how would Rav Neuwirth? They were like surprised he would publish that. I told, I alluded to you in class that when it was published, it did cause shockwaves. So I can tell you, I'm only guessing, but if I could speak to Rav Neuwirth and say, Rebbe, how do you say something so extreme that you can only be Yotzei Kiddush if you're wearing a hat? And you know, there's a whole world out there of a million good Jews who don't wear hats Friday night or at Kiddush. So I believe Rav Neuwirth would simply answer, he's writing for the crowd and, where he lived in Bayit Vagan. You follow? That would be his answer. But it's hard for me to believe that really he believes halacha l'maisa, you have to wear a hat to be yotzei. But okay, be it as it may, a lot of these questions are interdependent, not on pure halacha, but on social realities. It's like you can describe a girl to a boy, and the girl has all the midot in the world, and she's wonderful and good and dedicated, and she davens twice a day, and she has a yiret shemayim and kibbut avayim, everything in the world. And then when you say, and she's in the religious Zionist camp, so the Haredi would rather remain single, not have any children, destroy his life, but chas v'chalila, he should go out with a girl who doesn't think exactly the way he does. And this is a sad comment on the way we live, but this is the reality. We cannot change the world. This is the reality. It's a sad comment. I'm not happy about it, and just the opposite. I'd love to see a Litvak marry a Chabadnikit, and I'd love to see a girl from Beis Yaakov marry a graduate of Yeshiva University, and it can all work out very beautifully, and I have many examples. But be it as it may, I think this question has more to do with Hashkafa than pure Halacha. Give me one more second, and I want to end out a beautiful little document that echoes what I've said so many times. My Talmud Tzvi Lika, who after he studied with me, studied in Merkaz HaRav for many years, and he went over to Rav Avraham Shapiro. Now, those of you who recall Rav Avraham Shapiro, Avi, you know where Rav Avraham Shapiro was raised? The Merkaz HaRav Hashashiv was raised in Meir Shearim. He comes from a real Meir Shearim family. You know who his childhood friend was? You know the Hashgacha of Rabbi Ralbag, it's all over the Ralbag Hashgacha. What does it look like? A Jewish star in a triangle, am I right? That's the Hashgacha. He and the original Rabbi Ralbag were childhood friends. And one time when they started bringing in products with the Rabbi Ralbag's Hashgacha to Israel, so some people said, oh, we're not Samach and Rabbi Ralbag, he gives Hashgacha to Hebrew National, and they wanted to, and they took it off the shelves, actually. And when the chief rabbi found out, he became hysterical, he banged on the table, he said, you're telling me who Rabbi Ralbag is, he's a Yid, a Tzadik, a Talmud Chacham, his Hashgacha is absolutely acceptable. and all the Rauback Hashgachas reappeared on the shelves at that time, Super Soul and Co-op. Now, Hebrew National is the biggest kosher plant in the world, as far as I believe it's bigger than any of the Israeli plants. Who knows today? It could be Tirat Tzvi overtook them, but it's not glot. So when Rabbi Rauback, when he died, someone else took over the Hashgacha, and they wanted to give it to OU afterwards. And the OU turned it down, which really, I still suffer. I remember I asked the Tzar of Kashrut at the time, Rabbi Manny Holzer, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, why didn't you take it? He said, because the OU can only give a Hashgacha when it's glot, and there's not enough glot shchiter in America. So to me, I would have solved the problem. Give the Hashgacha, say it's not glot, but for those who aren't makpid on glot, who heard of glot? When I was a kid growing up, we once asked the Rav about glot. The Rav got hysterical. Where he came from, they wouldn't makpid on glot. But the Hungarians brought glot to America. And today, the Hungarians and the Sfardim are makpid on glot, the Beis Yosef. So the OU doesn't give Hashgacha unless it's glot. But it would have been very interesting to see Hebrew National under the OU, and they could have developed glot slaughter, more slaughter, create more jobs. They're more Satmar Jungleite, more Chabad Jungleite who need jobs. I think the problem...
It's under Star K, isn't it now?
No, it's not under Star K. No. It's under Rabbi Raubach's son, who happens to have been my Talmud. So the Rabbi Aryeh, I believe his name is Aryeh, Rabbi Aryeh Raubach. But I'm just saying this, that Rav Avram Shapiro came from Meir Sharim, and he came from that background, and he looked like a Meir Sharim Jew. He didn't walk around in a kippah sugah, and he didn't walk around in a white shirt on Shabbos. I was together with children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren on Shabbos, and our Shabbos dress, we were all in white shirts, Baruch Hashem. He dressed, from the Yishuv HaYashan, but Tzvi Lika asked him, as you know, he looked like and actually was a Meir Sharim Diki Yid, which was slightly different than the typical Merkaz student. And Tzvi Liker asked him about wearing a suit and in Shabbos. And his answer was, quote, a Ben Torah has to dress mechubad, but he also said that one does not have to wear a suit. So you see, it's a question of where you're living, what the standards are. It's not pure halacha. I didn't ask about a hat because I assume if you don't wear a suit, you're not going to wear a hat, which is correct. Then he asked him about the size of a kippah, and Rav Avram Shapiro said, and he quotes him word by word, kippah tzricha liyot kisui rosh velo terence. A kippah has to be, covers the head, a nishta teretz. What does it mean by nishta teretz? I think I understand it, that, people will say to you, where's your kippah? So you show there's a little bottle top on your head. Chabda, I have a kippah. It has to be something, and I think that's absolutely, absolutely right, la halacha, and that's in relation to dress. Yes, yes, Michael.
Is all meat in Israel glot?
No, all meat in Israel is not glot. You have glot and you have the regular meat as well. And in Israel, it's more like litta in the sense that plenty of good Jews eat meat, which is not glot. The Sfardim are makpid on glot. I believe Hasidim. What about Chabad? Can anyone ask me, is Chabad makpid on glot? I don't know, but Sfardim are makpid, and it could vary that Hasidim, certainly the Ungarische, the Hungarians are makpid on glot.
No, the Rav was not a graduate of Hebrew Uni College.
No. I say Yitzchak, believe me, I have full confidence in the Rav. There's a different problem with me. It's not for us now, but Rabbi David Rosen, I once sat with him at a Bar Ilan dinner, and Rabbi David Rosen, that's Rabbi Couples, one of the Rosen boys from London, a very distinguished gentleman, each one of them. So Rabbi David Rosen said, since he's in the rabbinate, he doesn't eat meat anymore.
The products that Tirat Tzvi makes that are not under Badat's Hashgach.
I don't.
Do you know what the problem is?
No, why is there a problem?
Why are they under Badat's Hashgach?
Maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe it may not be glot. I don't know.
That's my question.
I don't think the difference is whether it's glot. I think that The Rabbanu Shkita just has more lenient positions than the.
Could be.
They checked more within
could
a certain
be.
Amount of
no,
time.
No, but right.
It's
but,
still, I've been told that the Rabbanu Shkita in Israel, really we shouldn't say, oh, there's the Rabbanu to Mahadran. That really we should say that's Mahadran, and then you have even more. You have Badatzin.
All I can tell you is with the chickens in Israel, I know that the rabbinate developed a system that is the best in the world. With meat, I can't answer. I don't really know what goes on. But I'll tell you this. Tirat Tzvi, I would be samach on their ethical, moral commitment 100%, which becomes very important in kashrut.
They make a beef hot dog.
Right.
That is, Hanfein Sharian Rami Levy, for example, won't sell them.
They're not on the Badatz. Okay, could be. I don't know. You have to check with them. But that they're reliable 100%. So anyway, coming back to David Rosner, I don't want to get involved with this, but I just throw it out. It's food for thought. We were just talking about it. Shabbat, he said he stopped eating meat. So people asked him, why? You were in the Shlachtos, you were a Rav. He says, no, the slaughter is fine, the kashrut is fine, the bedikat are fine. Everything about the meat is absolutely fine. So why did you stop eating meat? And he answered, because tzar bal chayim, that the way they bring the animals to slaughter, the way they're kept in the cages, and this is a real problem. And he raised the issue, how can a Torah Jew eat meat that's glatt kosher, but at the same time is involved in the iser tzar bal chayim? And here I come back to the Rav, as Yitzchak said, the Rav was not exactly a lightweight. And I come back to the Rav, and the Rav told the story. He said, you don't know what it was like in my grandfather's house, Rav Elia Pruzhana, where the Rav spent his earliest years. When Rav Elia Pruzhana used to sit down to eat, he says, Given Agan Satumul. It's a lot of, I don't know how to translate that. Agan Satumul, turmoil, tumul. What was the turmoil? Before he would sit down to eat, they had to check that the cows were fed, the goats were fed, the geese were fed, the chickens were fed, the cats were fed, the dogs were fed, all the animals that he had a little farm, which was his parnassa, his wife took care of it. Everyone had to be fed before he sat down to eat. So, all right, these are Gedolei Israel, and this is with the kashrut. But we're not going to, these problems have been with us from time immemorial. I hope it can only get better. That's all I can say. And in Israel now, they're trying to do, the chief rabbinate, Rabbi David Lau, is very good. And they're trying to really make tikkunim that it should not be, not only be le'ela le'ela in kashrut, but be le'ela le'ela in tzar bal chayim as well, to minimize as much as possible. David Rosen's article is very interesting. I think it appeared in the New York Times recently. I saw a copy of it because he compares the kosher slaughter to the goyish slaughter. And he says the kosher slaughter is 100% better than what the goyim do. They stun the animals. Some are still alive till they die. Some of them suffer for endless minutes. And kosher slaughter, you know, a shochet has to do a proper job, and they're bidik the sakin to be sure there are no niches and that there shouldn't be any tzar bal chayim. But he says preparing them, getting them to the shlachtos, this is where the problem of tzar bal chayim comes in. Okay, be it, let it stand fire, halacha lemaisa, dress mechubedik, put on a white shirt for Shabbos. If your nohag is, you wear a suit and a black hat, wear a suit, wear a black hat, a shtreimel, whatever your minhag is, fine. I'm proud to say that when I raised my grandchildren, helped raise them, so I think I told you the story that one time during the week I was being Masada Kedush or whatever, I was a son, whatever, and I was wearing a white shirt. And I remember my grandson, Binya, says to me, Saba, why are you wearing a white shirt? It's not Shabbat today. So I'm proud to say the kid understood that a white shirt means Kedushat HaShabbat. Okay, I want to take the next topic now, and we're going to have a real, it's very fascinating. And I'll begin from the beginning. Pasuk in the Torah, Sefer Vamidbar, Perek Vav, beginning with Pasuk Chaf Bet. Vayadaber Shem Moshe Lemor, Daber El Aron Ve'El Banav Lemor, Kol Sevarchu Et Bnei Yisrael, Amar Lahem, Yevarechecha Hashem Ve'yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem Panav Ve'lecha Ve'yuchunecha, Yisach Hashem Panav Ve'lecha, Ve'yasein Lecha Shalom. V'samu Et Shmi Al Bnei Yisrael, Va'ani Avarechem. All right, you're all familiar with this pasuk. And I want to ask you, like the Rebbe used to say, Balabata Shesechel. What does Balabata Shesechel mean? Moriya Rebbe used to give the example, if I wake you up in the middle of the night and I ask you this question, what would your answer be? So right away the class would say, Rebbe, why the middle of the night? What is so special about the middle of the night? So the Rebbe would say, because by day you're awake. When you're awake, you're sophisticated and your defense mechanisms are working. If your defense mechanisms are working, you might not give a very honest answer. You're going to, you know, give a little bit of a dray and a pupil, and maybe you're going to say something off the beaten path. But in the middle of the night, if you're not totally awake, you're going to give the gut answer. So if you look at these psukim, it seems very clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is assigning Aharon and his sons to give the bracha to Bnei Yisrael. It seems very clear. I'll bring you a Gemara to prove it in a second. And this is Birchat Kohanim. And Birchat Kohanim, we plain Israelites like myself, do not have a right to give a Birchat Kohanim. This is reserved for Aaron Ubanov. We'll get there. Yitzchak, relax. Relax yourself. We'll get there. But we got to have a long, we have a ways to go. You have a beautiful sources. Now, how do I know I'm right that we can't give a bracha? So it's a sugi in Ketuvot, Daf Chav Dalid Amid Bet. And it talks about, you see, we have a real problem today. Those of you familiar with the literature, the earliest rebellion against Torah right away begins with Kohanim. Why can't a Kohen marry a Gioret? Why can't a Kohen marry a Grusha? I quote David Hartman to you in the start of his latest book that his students put out, where in Montreal, that's where he became David Hartman in Montreal. Had a big shul and very successful, very charismatic. And from there, he came in Aliyah. And the money, the Shalom Hartman Institute, was established, and there's evidently an ongoing fund by his Balabatim from Montreal. He was very charismatic and won the ball game in Montreal. So this Balabas comes to him, Rabbi, you know, I'm a Kohen, and I'm going with this, I fell in love with this Grusha, a convert, will you marry us? And David Hartman says, absolutely, tell every Kohen who wants to marry a Grusha or a Gioret, I will marry them, personal happiness is more important than halacha. And that's where David Hartman becomes David Hartman, with all that follows. Now, the tremendous attack, and you know, a lot of literature has been written. For instance, I'll give you an example. There was in the conservative movement a Hungarian immigrant to the United States by the name of Klein, Rabbi Klein. Remember?
Isaac Klein,
correct. Isaac Klein was a big Talmud Chacham, Hungarian Talmud Chacham, but he had neolog tendencies, conservative tendencies. By the way, I met his grandson once, davening in my shul, and 100% from, I was moved to tears to see his grandson.
But his shulchan aruch is exceptionally well written.
No, he was very capable in a Talmud Chacham. So he already raises the issue that we can be lenient with Kohanim b'zman hazeh, because no one can prove for sure he is a Kohen. And all of you know the sentence to halachic literature, whenever you have a problem with a Kohen, so if you can have other reasons for doubting his kahuna, so it always is a sniff that no one today can serve for certainty he is a Kohen. There was a famous case of a YU graduate, let him remain nameless, someone who was mamish my classmate in graduate school. We got our doctorates together, and he was I don't know if he got smicha from YU, but he came with smicha from South Africa, and a terrific individual, and was married many decades. I knew his wife. I taught his children. And this is why yours truly would like to ask male rabbis dealing with women and their problems. So he was counseling a woman who was getting divorced, and believe it or not, he ran off with the woman afterwards, and here he is, a Kohen, marrying a Grusha. Yeah, yes, I mean, yes.
Here's what my thinking is. Young couple, I could see a Kohen and a Grusha have children be Mamzer.
No, not, they're not Mamzer. They're not. They're Chalalim. They're not Mamzer.
Okay. However, an older couple, where it's no longer...
So you're being a lamed schut with an older couple, but I'll be a lucky. It's nothing to do with Chalolim. He's a Kohen and she's a Grusha. It doesn't matter. It's a lav in the Torah. But okay, what you're saying is, as far as the children, there's no problem. They're not going to be Chalolim. But anyway, so now the problem comes up. This man was considered a Kohen. So it was claimed, again, I don't go into detail because it turned into a very nasty story where he claimed Rabbi Ovadia Yosef was matir and he couldn't prove it and he lost his job and whatever. But he already said, you know something, I'm not a Kohen. How do I know I'm a Kohen? My parents weren't from. My grandmother once told me that I'm a Kohen. That's how we knew he was a Kohen. No, the question is that this creator, Cheskat Kohuna. So, the Gemara, how do we know someone is a Kohen? The truth is, Bizman Hazer, Ad Biat Mashiach Tzidkenu, we are Becheskat Kohanim, but we're not certain. It's not Vadai. No one can say Vadai, he's a Kohen. All right, but we have a Chazakah. If your father Duchen, then your grandfather Duchen, then your great grandfather Duchen, so it's your Becheskat Kohen. You can't prove it 100%. So the Gemara in Ketuvit talks about Mahu lahalot b'nesiyut kapayim liyuchasin. Ah, so tell me. Are you allowed to say, look, this person is being no say kapov. He gets up in the middle of davening, Yivarcha Hashem v'yishmerecha. And if he's being no say kapov, then it's a sign that he is a Kohen. And this is the question the Gemara asks. So you see, the Gemara gets involved in the whole discussion. How powerful is it for someone who is no say kapov? If someone eats truma, for the sake of argument, Alex has a neighbor, and Alex sees every week, every day, people are bringing their truma to him, and the man is eating it. No, this is a sign he is a Kohen. And the Gemara says, if you eat truma and you're not a Kohen, avon mitahi. It's mita, right? Shemayim. It's your chayev mita. No, that's a pretty serious matter. If you're eating truma, that's a sign that you really are a Kohen. But the Gemara says, birchat kohanim, it's a nisar aseh, it's not so serious, no chiyuv mita, it's not a czar who has an avon mita, I'm quoting Rashi. If you're giving birchat kohanim, so let's say you're not a Kohen. So what you did is not so terrible, it's an nisar aseh. What is an nisar aseh? You're looking to Rashi. That a Kohen, Kol Sevor Hu Et Bnei Yisrael, who has to give the Birchat Kohanim, Kohanim, not Yisraelim. So, that's an Isser Aseh, not so terrible. You can look into the Siddur, you look into Rashi, you'll understand just what I'm saying. But what do we see from that Gemara? we see from that Gemara that the simple pshat in the Chumash, Abalabatish understanding, is 100% correct. Who gives Birchat Kohanim? Kohanim, not simple Jews like most of us are. Okay? So, ipso facto, ab initio, at the very outset, without any big lumdus, a Kohen, he gives the bracha, not a simple Jew like Aaron Rakefet. I'm a Yisrael. All right, in my family, we have Leviim. My wife's sister is married to a Levi. They can't give the bracha either. Only B'nei Aharon, Kohanim. Fine. That's point number one. Nope. You're satisfied? Let's go to point number two. BMT, the building we're in, I say BMT. Baruch Hashem Torah Tshvaga. I see in the morning you have a lot of Kohanim here. Right or wrong, I see Birchat Kohanim can be as many 10 Kohanim. It's a lot of Kohanim. No. You have here Rebbeim Gedolei Yisrael. Asaf Bednash, David Miller. Avishai David. Gedolei Yisrael. You mean to tell me that this Torah Shraga kid, half Jew, half wild animal, now, let's be honest, these kids, where are they coming from? What's their lifestyle? You mean to tell me that this guy is bigger than Rav David Miller? Than Rav Asaf Bednash? Than Rav Avishai David? Can you imagine we're in a minyan in Washington Heights, the 1950s, 60s? And some wise aleck kid who was running around at Stern College the night before is giving Birchat Kohanim, and the Rav has to wash his hands and stand in front of him, Mori Rebbe, the Rav, Rav David Lifshitz, all right, Rav Yaakov Moshe, coin lesson, all right, I can understand, he's giving Birchat. A very good question. Gentlemen, an open Gemara, an open Mishnah, Horiyot. Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and it's a very famous Mishnah which deals with when you have choice, who do you save, who do you give food to, who do you help? You have choice. Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, a ger, a mamza, everyone's bothering you. Who do you give?
You and me.
Herbie, you're too westernized already. But you know where the Shaila comes up? I'll give you a simple example. Simple example. Were you in the Shtiblach on Purim?
Yes.
The Shtiblach in Katamon, lines of people begging for money.
Oh,
So my grandson doesn't like that. I have one grandson who doesn't like to daven the Shtiblach. He davens in Harel.
What do you mean, it's going to give people on Purim?
I understand, but it's very nishpakvem, tlonaim. When you came into the Shtiblach, everyone's yelling, Stucker. And one guy is shouting there, we'll take dollars. I don't know what the hell he's taking dollars for. The dollar's worthless today. So, you know, the dollar, it's mind-boggling what's happened there with the dollar. Thank God I'm not in the import-export business. But we'll take dollars, but it's not nice. It's not nice. All right, Purim, you're right, but dignified. No, imagine you should stand with signs. I'm a Kohen, I'm a Levi, I'm a Bat Kohen, I'm a Bat Levi, I'm a Natin, I'm a Mams. Everyone should have a sign. Their status, listen to the Mishnah. Kohen called him the Levi, Levi the Yisrael, Yisrael the Mamsa, Mamsa the Natin, Natin the Ger, Ger the Evet Neshuchra. Eimatai? Bizman Shekulim Shavim. Avalim Hayam Mamze Talmud Chacham. The Kohen Gadol Amaretz, Mamsa Talmid Chachem, called them the Kohen Gadol Amaretz. An open Mishnah, an unbelievable Mishnah. Now Herbie Maltz feels better. If the Mamsa is a Talmid Chachem, He is more important than a Kohen Gadol and Am Arutz.
Does Talmud Chacham admit that he's a mamza?
Does he have to admit it? If the world knows he's a mamza, he's a mamza. What's the problem? I listen. I can tell you in Teira V'Das, in my time, a little bit before, there was a whole story of a kid who was a mamza. Understand? Balei Tshuva, when he found out, so he went to the, it was a whole story, went to the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva told him, leave New York, get lost in the crowd, and whatever you marry, you come back 10 years later.
There was a different,
there was a different story.
He was married in a reform ceremony.
Yeah, but that doesn't create a mamza. It's only when she marries without a get, there's a whole machlokes ha'poskim. Reb Moshe was makir, Reb Hagin was machmir. There was a case where the Rebbe told the kid, go to Brooklyn College. Talking when Brooklyn College was half Jewish and half Italian. And pick up some Italian girl and marry her and convert her l'shem shivchot. Then you'll have children, and then when everything is over, you'll be mishachrer her and the children, and they'll go through the final conversion to become total Jews, and that's atidim. I'm saying it's a whole sugya, the last parak. I lectured about it before you were born, Herbie, in the Kollel. A whole sugya. Kesef mitachem mamzer. Remember the sugya? Because you can buy a shivka kananit kesef mitachem mamzer. Okay, there are solutions, and the Rebbe recommended it. What happened, I don't know. But let's say we taka know that he's a mamza. Mamza talmid chacham comes before a kohen gadol amamoritz. This Mishnah, pardon me, is a real Litvak Mishnah. Your father, this is where I come from. This is where I come from. That's the way I was raised.
Poor guy can't marry a
regular girl. Yeah, right. He has his limitations, but to say that there's solutions. Because when relation to Mamzeret, keeping the Nitma'ah, you know, they still get the end of Kedushin. That once they're lost, they're lost. And we pass them lahalacha, looking to the Rambam Hilchot Malachim, that Mashiach Tzidkenu will tell you, you're a Kohen, you're a Levi, you're a Yisrael. He will not say who is a Mamza. At that point already, it's lost, you're a regular Jew. Well, let me just give the Pasuk. And the Gemara asks, how do we know this? That an Amoritz Kohen Gadol is less than a Mamza Talmud Chacham? The Yomakra, it's a Pasuk in Mishlei. Yokara hi mipninim, mikoin gadol shenichnas lifnei v'lifnim. That when you have Torah, you are worth more to Am Yisrael, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, than even a kohen gadol who goes in mipnimim, goes into the inner sanctuary on Yom Kippur. You are better. So we have a very interesting contradiction here. You can call it dialectical tension. On one hand, it would appear only a kohen can give a bracha. On the other hand, why only a kohen? A mamza talmud chacham knocks out a kohen gadol amaretz. Yes, Yomar.
You still can't do
it. We're not talking duchen. We're talking giving the bracha. The bracha duchening in a non. Tfiladik sense. Giving a bracha. Okay, 1 second, yeah?
It's very clear who a Kohen is, or someone's a Kohen, someone's a lady, someone's a Yisrael, someone's a mom, Nasin, or...
Yeah, okay, mom. Yeah.
But what definition, where do we have a definition of Talmud Chacham? How do we know who Talmud Chacham is? And who's going to say, one person's going to say he's a Talmud Chacham, one person's going to say he's not a Talmud Chacham.
I want to ask you a simple question. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question, your very question, by the New York Times in the mid-70s when they interviewed him. Who made you the posek? So the answer is the healthy sense of Klal Yisrael, okay? And this has to go above partisan feelings. I've Talmidim of mine who've met people, I'll tell you, talk about my Adam Karvetz Latzma, I know myself. They've met people who say to them, people from the Haredi world, so-called real Haredi world, and these people say, we love your Rebbe. We don't agree with his hashkafa, but his Torah is fabulous. So you see, the people say nice things. These are people who rise above petty politics. If you open up the Israeli newspapers, they're more Haredi papers, you know, in the Dati world, there's one paper, Makor Rishon. But in the Haredi world, I don't know where they get all that money. So, of course, they're petty politics. They maledict one the other. But real B'nai Torah, we know who is a Talmud Chacham. I don't have to be a Lubavitcher Hasid to tell you who the Lubavitcher Rebbe was. Do I have to go further?
So why did we give the Rishon to Talmud Chacham? Why would we always give Rishon to Cohen?
You're raising a different question, the Gemara and Gittin, and why we do. Because the Kriyat HaTorah, I heard from my Rebbe many times, the Kriyat HaTorah was based upon the need for Klal Yisrael to listen. And Klal Yisrael divides, there's a tripartite division of responsibility. Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. So that's why Kriyat HaTorah is based upon Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. It's our entire commitment to our Kaddish Baruch Hu is based upon the concept, the Kohen is his responsibility, the Levi his responsibility, and the Yisrael his responsibility. So that's the concept, very beautiful and very nice. What you're raising is a different issue. If you look into the Midchat Lazer and you look into some of the Hasidic literature, they were willing to give the Rebbe many times, the Rebbe, the first Aliyah. And I saw with my own eyes, with a shtibble in Borough Park, that they were giving the Aliyah away. Conan would be there, and they're giving it to who they want. So I yelled.
Conan would step out, or they
wouldn't? No, they didn't step out, and the Rebbe was very opposed to stepping out. He felt that Kriyat HaTorah L'Achilas, when I said, it's built on the concept of Klal Yisrael, tripartite division, this is the totality of Jewish experience. So I started to yell and shout. And in the shtibble, I had the distinction of being the only Jew there without a beard, and being the only one who yet knew the person for whom the shtibble was named, Reb Moshe Bick. I yet spoke and learning with Reb Moshe Bick many times. The Bronx. So they felt a little bad that I was yelling, and some of them are my own students, listened to my shiurim, many of them. So they showed me the Minchat Lazer. And the Midchat Lazer Taka Paskins that the shtibble belongs to the Rebbe. And once it belongs to the Rebbe, he can decide who's what. You are a guest, and he can make decisions. I said, with all due respect to the Midchat Lazer, this tshuva is nicht ausgehalten. Litvak looks at it, he'd be very upset. I can't believe I said that the Lubavitcher Rebbe would look at a tshuva like this and accepted halacha l'maisa.
He might not have accepted it as a psak, but I think he would have a lot of respect for anything.
The Minchat Lazer, I have a lot of respect too. Don't think only the Rebbe. I quote them with Yom Tov Shein. I quote him all the time. But you know how I spoke about his crying with the wedding of his daughter and what he said, Baruch Hashem. But la halacha, I have to tell you, the next year I came to the shtibble. They only gave Kohen to Kohen. And they said, they thought it over, they spoke it over, and they realized that it was a little off the beaten path to be Samachana, Favafin, and Minchat Lazer, and throw out the Kohen Levi.
I think changing Minchat Yisrael. Minchat Yisrael is Kohen.
Yeah, it's an open Mishnah. You're right, Nu, this is the problem. But if you're asking that question, how could the Alter Rebbe introduce Nusachari, breaking with Nusach Ashkenaz? How could the Baal Shem Tov introduce Nusach Sfrad? The Vilnigon was furious. What do you want? Why is it different?
Because this is a rule of a shul.
And davening is not a rule of a shul, Nusach. But what can I tell you? Klal Yisrael ruled otherwise, and in relation to Kohen Levi, Baruch Hashem, we retain it. Now, so my introduction is very beautiful. I quoted a Gemara, I showed you Nisarash Seh, I showed you Gemara that contradicts it. Halacha l'maisa, what do we do? Now, The problem is exacerbated because you'll see sources that Friday night, Gedolei Gedolei Yisrael used to give a Birchat Kohanim to their children. You'll see sources that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, v'chvodo uviatzmo, when the seventh Rebbe spoke before Yontif, before Yom HaNorayim in particular, he gave Birchat Kohanim to the people at the end of his talk. Mamishavarchacha Hashem v'yishmarecha. Not only that, many times you'll see before Yom Kippur, there's a whole nusach where you put your hands on your children, grandchildren, and once again, Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmarecha. Not only that, you go to weddings in America, I haven't seen it in Israel, but I did see it in America with Orthodox rabbis, all right, I don't say these were Rosh Yeshiva, Gedolei Yisrael, but these were fine Orthodox rabbis, and under the chuppah, you would hear them give a priestly benediction at the conclusion of the services when they're blessing the couple they have just married. And this is a real problem. Can it be? Can we allow it? Are there sources for it? Okay. So, yes.
Is there an issue to read psukim? A recite psukim?
We'll see. Could be what you're saying makes a little sense. But then again, what about you reciting psukim and you're putting your hands
but
out like
not,
that?
But it's not. It's not a concept of Messiah's
compliance. So it's a bit of a problem, but you may have something there. Anyway, let me begin at the beginning. Yeah, but do you bless your children Friday night and you say Simcha Elohim Kefan Kumenasha?
I said the whole Nusach. My father was.
Yeah, and you said Yevrechacha.
Yeah.
Yes.
I said that
to my children. Yeah. Do you have Hasidic blood in you? Yeah. Hasidim, you'll see sources. So it's interesting. Eidot HaMizrach, which Eidah are you from?
Very mixed, but Spanish and Portuguese.
So you're showing what you're telling me is Spanish and Portuguese already is ancient Eidat HaMizrach. That's not Johnny come lately's. So you're telling me that they have that Nusach. No, we Litvakim don't have it. Yisimcha v'kim k'Efraim v'kim Menashe. You know how many drushes I've given? Why Efraim? You know my vorta. Then I found out I heard. I told you years later. Decades after I gave this whole drasha in the smicha program, so I hear the Rav word by word giving it in my voice. So baruch shekibanti ledat gedolim. But from that point on, I say it's not just mine. I heard the Rav say it. You understand? If Rakepet says it, meila. But if I can quote the Rav, yisimcha lokim kefayim uchmanasha. It's very interesting because the women you say Kesara Rivka Rachaleya, you don't play games. And here you leave Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov out and Ephraim and Menashe. It's very, very interesting the brachot we give. But that's all we give. We don't give more than that Friday night. What? That's Litvish. But Erev.
Yeah,
that's
what I've seen. And I don't.
You don't what?
My father didn't and I don't.
All right, Beseda. But what about your Varechacha? We don't say it. But I have to say, Erev Yom Kippur, there is a Nusach that includes Yivarecha.
I think most people say Yivarecha after Simcha Elokim
Kefraim. What, I can't?
Don't most people say like after Simcha Elokim Kefraim Elokim Hashem, they say the Yivarecha?
No, we don't. Litvakim don't. But what you're saying, I'll show you the source. There is a source. You'll see in a minute. Okay. Now this whole question comes up. And this is typical of Reb Menashe Klein, that he takes on every question. You'll see the next question that results from this. We'll reach it, if not today, next week. Unbelievable what comes up. Chelik Tetvav, Siman Mem Vav. And again, it's not dated. He doesn't give a name. He just says, Malat Kavod, Yididi, V'Rav Habibi, V'Chulu, with no name. So on, my friend, my good friend, doesn't give a name. And the question was that they are tzaddikim that say Birchot Kohanim, and they're not Yisraelim. And by the way, he can very well be referring to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Because when he said tzaddikim, Rav Menashe Klein was very close to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe had an affinity for Jews that knew, had photographic memories, and who Shas by heart, the Rambam by heart, the Rebbe, these people, his Gabbayim were under orders. Whenever they want to see the Rebbe, take them in immediately. They didn't have to wait in line. Rabbi Hirschsprung of Montreal, there was a Rabbi Weinstock from Yerushalayim that the Rebbe loved, but these were Jews that Kol HaTorah Kula was in up their sleeve. They could shake it out in a minute.
So, what do you think of the American negotiator taking his power? Always wears a big black kippah. He came here.
Right. I'm upset. You're right. Herbie, I'm upset. I would love to see him with a kippah, particularly when he went to the Palestinian Authority.
Yeah.
He should have gone with the kippah. But what can I tell you? He's not my Talmud, so don't blame me.
Not yet.
At that. As far as I know, he's not my Talmud. He could be listening, but I don't know. Okay. Now, then there's another problem. That the Rebbe, let's say he means the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he also gives the bracha at night. And all of you know, Birchat Kohanim is only by day, not by night. You all know on, let's say, Yom Kippur, do you give Birchat Kohanim by Ne'ilah? It all depends. If it's nighttime, you don't give the Birchat Kohanim. First day you give Mincha, but you don't give after Shkia. If you're davening already, finishing the davening after Shkia, you don't give Birchat Kohanim. And here they give it at night. Okay. And he says, it's not just Minhag Yisrael, but we have sources. And this is what I told you, we ended off the share last week. For instance, the Beit Yaakov Siddur, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, was a very prolific writer. So not only did he write Shelet and Shuvit, not only did he write a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, but he also wrote, if you've seen the Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur, it's massive, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages filled with commentary. As a matter of fact, if I mentioned Rav Moshe Bick, Rav Moshe Bick was a direct descendant of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and he davened with a Siddur that was published by Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Could you imagine Rabbi Yaakov Emden, if
so
you know the story?
Senator Javits
was, yes, to say that's the name. Javits.
Javits
is Javits, Yaakov Ben Tzvi, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the son of the Chacham Tzvi. And Senator Rabbi Moshe Bick, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, for a while made a living by being a printer. He left the rabbinate. He couldn't handle the rabbinate. He had too much machlokes in the rabbinate. So he left the rabbinate. And one of the professions he entered was being a printer. Who wrote a doctorate on Rabbi Yaakov Emden? No, why you? Shachter. Yaakov J.J. Shachter. Rabbi Doctor J.J. Shachter wrote his doctorate on Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Harvard under Professor Yitzchak Tversky. The doctorate has never been published. Why it's never been published, I have my own guess that in Rabbi Yaakov Emden there were factors of life where he dealt with sex, and he dealt with it too openly, too aggressively in his memoir, Megillat Sefer. If you're familiar, there's the original edition and the amended edition. People tried to take out certain parts. And I think J.J. Shachter deals with it all, but I guess to publish, he was afraid it would be too shocking for the people who we want to make this doctorate available to. But it's only my guess, but the doctorate has never been published. It's available. I have a copy someplace, either here at home. I have a copy of the doctorate. Someone printed it out for me. It's available, it can be purchased. I know Rabbi Bert Leff should only have Rafu Shlema. He has a copy of the doctorate, a very, very fascinating doctorate. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden says in the Siddur dealing with Friday night that my father told me you have to bless the children and you have to bless them with two hands Friday night, just like a Kohen. So you see, here, not just non-Kohanim giving a bracha, but non-Kohanim giving a bracha in the sense that they are giving that bracha and giving it just like a Kohen. Okay. Then there's the Gemara in Shabbos. Daf Kuf Yud Chet Amid Bet. And this Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Me Olim Loar Vati Al Divrei Chavarai. Rabbi Yossi is making a statement that I never did not listen to what my friends told me. And this shows his personality. All of you know in life, you get involved, let's say for the sake of argument, all my life I've been teaching Torah. So I'm always a member of a faculty. So let's say other members of the faculty tell me to do something. Do I do what they tell me? Do I listen to them? Or giddy, do I do what I want to do? No, that's your personality. Some people, I do what I do. I'm not interested what anyone else is telling me. I'm independent. I think independent. I act independent. Rabbi Yossi boasts that I always was so flexible, so fallible, that I always gave in to what my friends told me. I always did what they told me to do.
And wow. Would you listen to him?
A Litvak, not necessarily. A Litvak has a mind of his own. What? I know how to learn. I have a mind. A Chassid, if the Rebbe would tell Alex what to do, he listens 100%. But Rebbe Yossi is boasting. Listen to this. He says, if my friends would tell me to go up to the Duchen and give Birchat Kohanim, I would go up and listen to them, even though I am not a Kohen. Wow. And this gets involved in a whole discussion. Do you understand what Rabbi Yossi is saying? He's not a Kohen. He's going to go up and Duchen. Because everyone shouted at him. Herbie Maltz is shouting, you're a Talmud Chacham, you're a Gadol Hadar, you're Rabbi Yossi. You're bigger than any Kohen. Look at these Kohanim. Who the heck are they? This one is a shoemaker. This one is a money changer. This one is...
They're
Kohanim. They're Becheskat Kohanim. And you are the great Talmud Chacham. Go up and Duchen. And Tosfot is bothered. Remember we said it's a Nisar Aseh. How can you go up formal Duchen? Not only that, I'll raise another question. If he goes up to Duchen, people will bring him Truma. People will bring him Kachim. They'll say he's a Kohen. It's an interesting question that has halachic implication. All right, it could be.
Doesn't it prove the opposite? Because if it's something that's mutar, they want the Kiddush that he would do it.
Yeah, but no.
His friends tell him to.
So I think what you're trying to say is, everyone knew he was in a Kohen, but he just did it not to say no to his friends. So in Rabbi Yossi's case, if he goes up to bless the Jewish people, he went and did it because he knows that everyone knows he's not a Kohen. It could be,
He's the
Gadol Hador, and that's why they want him up there. The Gemara that I quoted to you, Talmud Chacham, a Mamzer, a Talmud Chacham is more than a Kohen Gadol and a Maariv. But very interesting, we see that Rabbi Yossi went up to Duchen, and says he'd go up to Duchen, and he's not worried that
he would.
I would go up because they asked me to go up.
But is the pshat then, if they told me to steal something, I would steal it, right?
Tysus is asking your question that maybe this needs to say, but we see that he would do it anyway. And it could very well be the pshat is not to embarrass his friends. He listens. People know he's not a Kohen. But there could be another factor here. And this is what Rav Menashe Klein says. And this too has bearing in the halacha. that, look, the real kiyum of Birchat Kohanim can only be a kohen bizman nesiat kapayim. But there's nothing wrong with giving a bracha. This is the way God says you give a bracha. When you want to know how to give a bracha, you look into the Torah, and the Torah gives you many examples, Yisimcha b'nei Kefraim u'kmenasha, but this is another example, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, I will bless them, v'samu shmiyat b'nei Yisrael, and I will bless them. And if this is the case, in general, to give a bracha, now what did the Yomo say? These are psukim in the Torah. So I'm saying the psukim, I'm not doing it, but Torah Kohen, I know I'm not a Kohen, but I'm giving a bracha. And the biggest proof in the world that this is correct is Chazarat Hashatz, when you have no Kohen, so the Baal Tefillah, and the Baal Tefillah can be a Levi, the Baal Tefillah can be a Yisrael, the Baal Tefillah can be a Ger, right or wrong, and the Baal Tefillah can be anyone. And what does he say? Katatub b'Torah, Yerachach Hashem v'yishmerecha, right or wrong? Now there's a whole machlokes.
He's not giving a bracha.
Well, no, you're reading it. You're reciting a bracha, but that's the bracha. You're giving it. You're reading it. You're the cause of it. You're creating it. Yeah, but what do you mean you're reciting it?
You're reciting.
And what does everyone respond? Ah, you should know that there's a homa, we'll come to it, a homa chokas rishonim. Do you say amen, or do you say ken yihi ratzon? Now, many people have the minute to say amen, which means it's much more than just you reciting a bracha.
Isn't it equivalent, amen, ken yihi ratzon?
No, there's a big difference. That when you say amen, it gives chashivot, it adds. Amen already is part and parcel of the davening, where you hear a bracha and you answer amen. When you say ken yihi ratzon, it's on a lower level. It's not amen. You're just saying, look, I can't really say amen. I can't give it such chashiva because it's not a kohen. It's not nesiat kapehem. But ken yihi ratzon. Halavai, this should be the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I have to tell you, it's Divrei Torah. Now this comes up time and again. I'll give you a simple example. You davened Shachris. Yeah, you want to daven again. Are you allowed? You want to daven three times. You see, sometimes you see people, you know, with Balei Tshuva, there are very many levels. And I know in the Shtiblach, there's one guy, occasionally I daven at the same minyan with him, he's yelling and shouting and repeating words, and a lot of people look at him and look askance. But those of us who understand this is a Baal Tshuva, all right? You want to daven once, twice, are you allowed? Maybe a second time to do a tefillat nedavah. But even that we don't encourage today. Halavai, you should have kavanah with the first tefillah. But you, so you can't. You can't repeat the davening. The davening. Davening. Davening is finished. Correct. Davening is over. You daven, finished. Kriyat Shema. You can say 5 times a day. 10 times a day. 100 times a day. Why? What's the difference? Because Kriyat Shema, you yotzei the first time. When you say it afterwards, it's a din in Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, Eilat Vam Shelechem Sheyur. There's no start, there's no end. Now, when it comes to Yivarechacha, a Kohen Taka says it as a bracha. But we say it like Yitzchak said. I'm reading what the Torah says. What's wrong with reading what the Torah says? And this comes up many times. I'll give you another example. An example that unfortunately or unfortunately I suffer with every Friday night. Tell me, how many times do we say Vayechulu Friday night?
Three.
Three times. Why three times? say it once in davening. We say it in the Ke'en Chazarat HaShatz after davening, Friday night, right or wrong. And then we say it at Kiddush. You should know, it could very well be that our wives, or the women present, have a greater chiyuv of Kiddush than we do, because we already davened in shul. We were kind of the Zecharat Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshom media writer.
Who's going to talk about it?
Yeah, of course. The women didn't daven, so they have a greater chiyuv on Kiddush. So, you know, the feminist movement, I've already been in homes where the women make the Kiddush. I have Rabbanim, the women make the Kiddush. Now, I have to be honest, I'm not comfortable with it. But I may be a Litvak, but I still have a little chassidus in me, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm not comfortable. My wife is certainly not comfortable. She's more conservative than I am. But it makes sense.
How are you a Litvak? You have a German name.
All my grandparents, Kovna, I can't be, there's no bigger Litvak in this room than I am. One, my grandmother from Kovna, my Zayda from Vilna, another Zayda from Slunim, another grandmother from Minsk, you follow?
Why did you get the German
name? Do I know? Go back and ask 200 years ago why Rotkopf, what can I tell you? But I don't have a German name anymore. I have a pure Hebrew name, Rakefet. So don't blame me for that. Excuse me?
The Gaon
of Vilna was called Kramer. Kramer was the family name, the Gaon of Vilna, absolutely. So, you see, Friday night, look what happens. I daven Shmon Esrei. By the time I'm finished, they're long past Vayechuvu. They're already a lokein of elkavotein of the chazam. Now, what does the halacha say? Natan, what do you do when you in the, what do? You look up and you look for someone to say with you vayachulu. Why do you need someone else? Shnei Edom, absolutely. No, I look around to find someone to say it with me. It should be Shnei Edom. I can't find anyone. They're all way past it. So I say vayachulu.
You gotta speed up.
Herbie, just listen. I say vayachulu kekorei b'torah. You follow? All right. No one can have a taina to me. I'm allowed to read a chapter in the Torah.
You can
okay?
Say also, I heard you could say, if you're up to that part of Shmoneh Esrei while the Tzibur is saying it, you
get it.
That's check
account
also.
No, I'm never up to it exactly with the Tzibur, and I can't have that tension. It's if you know what it means, blowing the kiyot and the silent Shmoneh Esrei Rosh Hashanah, it creates tension for a Talmud Chacham. I'd rather not blow and not have the tension. When I was in the rabbinate, I never had tension because they waited for me. And the Baal Tokeya, Jonah Mann, says Zichrona Levracha, he was my Baal Tokeya. So Jonah waited, and I would signal him, I just finished, and then he would blow. But when you're not in the rabbinate, you're a Talib B'Dei
Achei Rabbi. I waited for you. Bunch of guys came over to me and said,
"What
do you wait for?"
No, you have to wait for me. It's okay. You wait for me. You understand you wanted to give me covered, but
I don't
need covered.
I
don't need covered. Let them daven. Some Zayn Gesund. Baruch Hashem. But you follow? If this is the case, if I can say by Yehulu, Kilo Korei B'Torah, then I can say Yevarecha Hashem V'Yishmerecha. It's reading the Torah. And this is the way you give a bracha, and you hear what the Torah says, and you say, "Kain yehi ratzon." So he's developing a whole case here, and then he quotes the Gemara we quoted in Chagiga. They quotes the pasuk from Mishle, and a Talmud Chacham more important than a Kohen Gadol. And if this is the case, then any Talmud Chacham has the right to give a bracha. It could even be that he can give it like a Kohen, raising his two hands. He has the right to give it at any time. And Misha Mavarechet Chavero Sheyitbarach Min HaShemayim, and this concept is legitimate, and we don't have to limit it only to a Kohen at the time of Birchot Kohanim. And then he thanks a friend of his, Harav Hershkowitz Shlita, who showed him a Tanchuma. And in the Tanchuma, here's the source, Pashit Vayechi Ot Zayin Tanchuma, it's one of the basic midrashim. Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu, L'sha'ava Hayiti Tzarich L'vareich Et B'yilukai. Originally, God said, I had to bless my children. However, Mikan Va'elech, from now on, and listen very carefully, you HaKohanim V'Tzadikim Mevarchim Etchem. Not just Kohanim, Tzadikim. No one can accuse the Tanchuma of being a Hasidic Sefer. Hasidic movement didn't exist at that time. But you see, not just Kohanim, Tzadikim. Tzadikim have the right. And this is what we mean by Tzadikim. And this is what we mean by a Talmud Chacham. And Kol Osek B'Torah, even if he's only a Jew, he is bigger than anyone else. At the time of the Beit HaMikdash, only a Kohen could do the Avoda. But nowadays, V'chayitim li am segula, mamlechet Kohanim, all the Jews are on that level, and they have every right to give a bracha. And he quotes Mesechet Sofrim, Hayamin haktov b'Yerushalayim, shehayu merkavim b'neihem u'menoteihem lifnei kol zakein, kedei levachu u'lechasko lipaleo alav, sheyizkeh b'Torah u'b'ma'asim tovim. And he quotes Mesechet Sofrim, that minhag Yerushalayim, every time you saw a zakein, an elderly person who was a Talmud Chacham, you brought your children over to get a bracha. And he ends off the tshuva so beautifully. U'mishabeyach ani et achinuch hasfardim. I bless our friends, our brethren, our brothers from the Eidot HaMizrach, she'adayin cholchim lelezikney hadar lekabel brachot. Wow, I bless them that the Sfadim still can't this minhag. V'ashem yavareich et amo Yisrael b'shalom, amen, kein yehi ratzon. Beautiful tshuva. I have to tell you, this minhag ha'Sfadim has gone way beyond Eidot HaMizrach. And I can tell you, halacha lema'aseh, in America, they bring groups here, and they take them to B'nai Brak. I know people who make a living out of taking you to B'nai Brak, and they take you in, for instance, to Rav Chaim Kanevsky to get a bracha. So I asked, what does this mean, Rav Chaim Kanevsky to get a bracha? As far as I know how much time I spend learning every day. Who has time? I love bracha. People come in, it disturbs you, this, that. Anyone gone to Reb Chaim? Anyone gone to Reb Steinman? No? What? He's sitting and learning. Yeah. All he does is he look up, right?
Bracha
v'hatzlacha. Bracha v'hatzlacha. Murmurs a little bracha.
You didn't hear that. You didn't hear that. It says bua.
Bua. Bua. Bracha v'hatzlacha.
They look. Bracha
v'hatzlacha, but each one takes a little. Right, right, right. Gives a quick bracha, but you see it's a kiyum. So I have to tell you that I gave a talk, it's 2 years ago already, a year ago. So I gave a talk in America. It was a group, more Haredi than YU, but these are normal American kids, and the Rebbeim are very smart, many of them are my virtual students, and they wanted the kids to hear me, and I gave a whole talk, and they were, Baruch Hashem, talk was very successful. So they say to me, next time we come to this, we're going to come to you for a bracha too. I said, no, no, in my world, if you want to come to me, come to me to hear a shir. But to give a bracha, and that takes us back to the Rav, the famous story Saturday night in Boston, where the Rav finishes this major shir, as was Yitzchak will testify what went on Saturday night, and this is the 70s, and a kid comes over to the Rav after the shir, and the kid, when they told me the story, I had such nachat, I was laughing so. And the kid tells the Rav, he's a Ramaz graduate, he's at Harvard, that's all the Rav had to hear, Ramaz graduate at Harvard already. The kid has real chashivit in the eyes of the Rav. And then the kid says to the Rav, will the Rav give me a bracha? And the Rav looks at him, Vada, you an apple? You follow? This is how Litvak answer it.
It's funny, but I don't understand the point. Any Jew can give a bracha.
Not the same. Why would
you not want to do that?
Just as I had to work hard to understand the world of Chabad, you have to work hard to understand the Litvishian world. You'll ask Yitzhak, he'll explain to you. Believe me, I understand the Rav. You have a problem? Fine. It's not going to be your only problem understanding the Rav. But the Rav was kulo halacha, kulo litva, kulo veloshin.
Why do you keep saying that? It's not true. I don't know why you keep saying that.
No.
There's not a single Torah personality that I could point to who got up and spoke with more immediate humanity, emotion, vulnerability, exposing himself, talking about his relationship with his family, his childhood, in front of a thousand people.
And the Rav
was like the most heartfelt person we could.
And on a personal,
don't make him into some kind of cold cerebral.
And on a personal level, he was very distant, very cold. Not like Reb Baron, and this was the everyone calls attention to this contradiction in the Rav's deportment, that on a personal level he was the lonely man of faith, and in front of 10,000 people he opened up his innermost heart and thoughts and emotions and his life and his wife and his children to you. You're absolutely right. This was the Rav. But on a personal level, this kid asks for a bracha. His reaction is, what are you? You're an apple? It's beautiful. You have to be a Litvak to appreciate it. But hold off one second. Gentlemen, so we've dealt with Reb Menashe Klein. Okay? But now I want to move, same question, a little sideways. And I want to come back to my Monday class. You'll understand why in a few minutes. We spent 2 years plus on the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Okay, I picked up a lot of students. Now let me describe to you what happened last week, and which captures, in one little story, captures many, many lectures. We live in the post-Lubavitcher Rebbe era and the post-Rav Soloveitchik era. There's no question that with the demise of these two individuals, a certain era came to an end. They were shichmam lemalam mikol ha'am. They were very, very special. Way above the post-World War II generation. Both of them have great success at this moment in time. The Rav's reputation, what's coming out, a book was just published, just became available last week, a copy was left on my door earlier today on the Rav dealing with halachic ethics. People who have looked at the book tell me it is unbelievable.
Oh, I ordered the book.
They tell me
why? You know why?
Why?
Perek Aleph, the first five of the Mishnahs, and that's it. It's not all Perek Tiros.
No, halachic halathic ethics.
I know, I'm talking about that.
I got to look at it, because they thank me for giving them some, you'll see.
Right, and then
he gave
a Firkov class on Stucker, so they put in the notes for that, and then he gave a Firkov class on Chesed, and they put in the notes for that.
Oh, good, I have to see that. That's the tapes I gave them. To say that I risked my life when I gave them those tapes, that you don't know, but Baruch Hashem. Anyway, coming back here. The Rav's reputation, and on the other hand, look how Chovevei Torah developed, and they quote the Rav and Talmidim of the Rav, or Talmidim of Talmidei HaRav.
Now it's, they don't even do
it. Well, they don't do it for certain people.
Raised, I read that piece from Cardozo that you showed me. I was
flabbergasted.
I couldn't believe it.
It's hard to believe, exactly. Flabbergasted. So I have to tell you, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, there was no one like the Rebbe. What the Rebbe did, how he affected every Jew in the world, what he accomplished. And yet, it hurts the messianicism and the Rebbe, Yechi Adonai Moreinu Rabbeinu Melech HaMashiach L'Olam Ve'ed, that you call someone up and the phone answers, Yechi Adonai Moreinu Rabbeinu, it's frightening. Frightening. Yeah, all right, you say Meshuggah is, but it hurts. And I have to say something else. Because of the messianics, so the average Litvak thinks the Hasidic world knows nothing, it's just a bunch of what you just called Meshuggahs. Among the Lubavitchers, the overwhelming majority, normal, stable, among them, Talmidei Chachamim Muflogim. Okay? And I want to tell you what happened to me last Tuesday. My wife and I went shopping and we wound up in Osherad and we said we'll go up to Greg's and have lunch. Greg's is a chain of cafeterias in Israel, all over the country. I believe all of them are kosher, and certainly in Yerushalayim they're all glatt kosher to do business. How can milchiks be glatt kosher? That's a different question.
it means the Mahadrin,
right. So in Greg's, every Tuesday, from 10 o'clock to 11:15, so a whole group of women, they put together tables, they order coffee, drinks. Believe me, Greg's is losing money, but it isn't that crowded. After they leave, they divide up the tables, and the tables are soon filled. By lunchtime, you can't get a seat. So a lady named Devorah, her maiden name is Kalmanson, I didn't pick up her married name, she comes from New Haven. Her father was the shaluach sent by the Rebbe to New Haven many decades ago. And this lady is teaching a class in Parshat HaShavua. There are about 20 women, I would say, all sophisticated looking women, intelligent women. And I said to Malka, we have to sit near them. And because we're there quite once a week, more or less, so in Greg's, they'll let us sit wherever we want. This area wasn't open yet. It's the side. Well, he said, we want to sit there. We want to hear the Divrei Torah. Fine. So I have to tell you, here this lady is teaching, and I'm listening. She is fabulous, teaching the Parsha. And I want to make clear to you, I'm listening for over an hour. Not one quote from the Rebbe. Pure Midrashim, Rashi, Parsha. Totally normative, tremendous insight, beautiful lessons. That's Chabad. We're so proud. Magnificent. Totally normative. No, not a word. She could have quoted the Rebbe here. Then. No, she's going with Rashi and Midrashim and learned and filled with spirit. She told me afterwards she's the shlucha to Baka in Yerushalayim. If you know who the shaluch is, this is his wife, Devorah. And riding back, every day at about 11:30, an American Chabadnik, has to be a Baal Tshuva, shows up, and he puts tefillin on the people who work in the cafe, and he's wearing a big kippah, Yechi Adonai Moreinu Rabbeinu Melech HaMashiach Li'olam Ve'ed. And I looked at the site, and I said, boy, this captures Chabad today. On one hand, Devorah Nee Kalmanson, fabulous. And on the other hand, that young man doing mitzvot, and Yechi Adonai, and that's it. It captured one picture, said it all. A side comment, very fascinating to me, only in Israel, I believe. People are lining up to put on tefillin, the waiters. Fine. Suddenly the waiters put on a kippah, put on tefillin, has a talit, tefillin, kippah, shma, they say. And one waiter wears a big black kippah, like Yomo. And there he is putting on tefillin. Has to be a Dot HaMizrach, Mimanavshach. Didn't you put on tefillin in the morning? And he's really davening. I see him saying, Shema, Shmon Esrei, They're very nice. The people in Greg's allow the waiters to take off time to put on tefillin. Then they give this guy a cup of coffee, the chabatnik. But a side comment, here you're wearing a kippah. Don't you daven in the morning? And so I'm a lamed schut. Maybe he knows they're going to come in to Greg's with the tefillin, so he'll put on tefillin at that time when they come in. But what an interesting event. Nu, why am I saying this? My Talmud, Arye Lieberman, sent me a book, a PDF. I sound like a modern individual, PDF. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think Yomo printed it out for me. And this book is a halachic book on the highest level imaginable. It's written by one of the top chabadnikim in London. It is called Nitivim Bistei Hashlichot. And I couldn't get over it. He deals with halachic questions. Halacha lema'aseh. Levi Yitzchak Raskin. I believe in English it would be R-A-S-K-I-N. And here it's written in Hebrew. He lives in Stamford Hill. Merakez Menachem Beit Lubavitch in Stamford Hill, London. Nitivim B'Stei HaShlichot. Dealing with halacha lemaisa questions. He is listed here as Dayan Umore Tzedek. He's one of the Dayanim in the Chabad community in London. And I couldn't get over the man's lumdus, his ability to write, his ability to cite sources, his ability to reach conclusions. And he raises this very issue. Are you allowed to say Birchat Kohanim? How did the Lubavitcher Rebbe give Birchat Kohanim b'fnei Am v'Eda? How did the Rebbe give Birchat Kohanim with his two hands? How did the Rebbe give Birchat Kohanim at night? Raises this very, very issue, halacha ulamaisa, and I'll show you what he paskins and what he says, some of the sources, and then we'll come back to Reb Menashe Klein and an unbelievable question that comes up with a non-Kohen Duchening, halacha lemaisa, what Reb Menashe Klein has to deal with. So let me just reiterate, I have a lot that I want to give out, and tomorrow Be'ezrat Hashem, we have a great day. But first, let me just reiterate. We paskind la halacha lema'aseh like Rab Avraham Shapiro. Dignified dress also gets involved with minhag hamakom. There are no two ways about it. Whether we like it or not, we don't dress the way Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Avot, dressed. I do admit you will find Balei Tshuva at the Kotel dressed like the Avot, going back in time, and I call a kavod lehem. I can also tell you with the tchelet tzitzit, I don't wear tchelet because I'm a Talmud of the Rav, and I heard the Rav yell and shout, we don't have a Masorah, he's against it, you can't put on tchelet, so I'm a Talmud of the Rav. But I understand the youth that wears tchelet tzitzit. Rabbi Shachter is a Gaon B'Torah. Rakefet is a nobody. All that Rakefet has is he reflects the Rav. He's an honest reflection of the Rav. So I don't do it. Rav Shechter is way beyond the Rav. He can do what he wants.
Did the Rav say you shouldn't, or did the Rav say he doesn't?
No. The Rav said you don't have to, or you shouldn't. He was very strong. Yitzchak, the Rav said, you don't.
We have Rabbi Herzog and others did studies.
Say that Rabbi Herzog's studies already been disproved. Doesn't matter. You want to wear tchelet, wear tchelet. But I'm making the point.
No,
it's not fair. I'm making the point that the Balei Tshuva you see, they go back, they want the tchelet. So you see, what is covered, what is dressed, what is proper, it is a question of not pure halacha, but a lot of social hashkafic implication. And I live in a world, I wear a white shirt in Shabbat and Yontif. But I understand there are Jews who wear a shtreimel, there are Jews who wear a black hat, there are Jews who wear a black kippah. And that's the halacha. I think Rav Avram Shapiro's psak is exactly what Avi has to teach the young men in Torah Shraka. The shaila with the kohen is very fascinating. And you see what Rav Menashe Klein said in the Tanchuma with Tzaddikim, very, very powerful. What you missed a minute ago, Natan, I gave a whole discourse on Lubavitch at this moment of time. I photographed something, a very powerful photograph of what happened in Greg. And that says it all. It's an amazing, amazing what has happened both to the Rav and to the Rebbe, but it can't be helped. That is life. And we're going to deal with Rabbi Raskin, who mamish paskims lahalacha and deals with all the sources and deals with the Rebbe, this very question. There's many more questions dealing with driving to shul Friday night, the people inviting. Many of the questions we've dealt with, he deals with from the point of view of halacha. Okay, tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, it's 36,000 shekel or dollars linked to the shekel to get into class. You're going to hear a Baron Soloveitchik describing Rav Hutner, and that description you'll hear tomorrow. Anyone going into chinuch, if you can't measure up to that description, become an accountant, a lawyer, a fireman, or a policeman. Don't become a machaneich. Fast is back to Rabbi Rubin. Very interesting question.
I saw the other day a guy with that kippah with the Lubavitcher and the Mashiach.
Right.
Wearing a kapata.
Okay.
Large armor.
Right.
And a ponytail.
Okay. Baruch Hashem. Thank God he's a Shemesh Shabbos. Anyone want to...
It wouldn't bother you?
No. Live and let live. You have
Why?
To be...
Brachot,
my Talmud put this out. This is one of the whole series. This is the book I'm talking about. Nitivim b'stei hashlichot. Does anyone want this? But you have to read modern Hebrew halacha lemaisa.
This is a practical
halacha lemaisa. Halacha deals with all the problems. But do me a favor, it's got keep it as long as I'm alive. If I have to refer to it, I'm going to bother you. You follow? Don't let anything today's the outside, right? Am I right? Should be. You understand what? As long as we're alive. This is a Purim joke. If anyone's interested, Zev Elif, gentlemen, 1 second. It's a Purim joke.
That's a conclusion Rabbi reached, that it's a Purim joke?
Yeah, it's a Purim joke. What if Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein had remained in America? And he describes what had happened to YU and Rabbi Rackman president and Bernie Lander. I have comments. It's not exactly, you know, if is the biggest word in the dictionary. And Rabbi Rackman, I don't believe, could have been elected president in 76. And Bernie Lander's not as... Haredi as he paints him. But it's interesting. If anyone wants it, it's yours. Gentlemen, if anyone is interested in Russian Jewry and what's happening, this is Shvut Ami, and my picture is in here with the Rosh Yeshiva, among many other pictures. Very interesting material on Shvut Ami at this moment in time. New York Times article on Natan, New York Times article on a bookmaker in a shul, the bookmaking craft. You'll enjoy that.
Bookmaker. Making books or
not? Binding.
No, it is making books.
Gentlemen, for your information, there's a world war going on now with the Israeli army and the Zionidati world. If anyone wants to read something magnificent by Rabbi Tao, I have 2 copies. Fabulous, if you haven't read it. Anyone wants the Urim catalog, all the books that Urim has published, I shake when I shiver when I see how much is available. It's beyond words. If anyone has a wife at home who's interested, a magazine about food, all kosher, what we've lived to have. And this is a magazine about house decoration, furniture. The state of Israel lacks nothing today, Baruch Hashem, and we even have $15 billion extra this week. Mobilize, including many graduates of Machon Lev who are now millionaires, and including a cousin of Rabbi Chalap who is only a billionaire. So it has a tie-in with YU. If anyone wants this... No. If anyone wants this picture, my nephew took it. It can decorate your wall. It is sunrise in northern Jerusalem, and somehow the sun looks like a star. It's like a miracle. And with that, until we meet again in health and happiness, thank everyone for making our big minion tonight. Das v'danya. Michael, you want to...